D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan, David Janes, Connor Newt in for Derek Mason and Willie Donick. Joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, our friend Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire, and he is presented to you by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today, Adam?
I am doing well. Connor Newt is here with me because Derek Mason is taking a long birthday weekend like a teenage girl. And Willie is en route with the Predators to Denver to take on the Avalanche tomorrow. Well, he's not taking on the Avalanche. That would be something. But he will be calling the action. So let me ask you about these Predators now that they've won 16 of their past 24 games to get back in the Western Conference playoff race. When you talk to people around the NHL, what are their impressions of the Predators, especially over these past 7 weeks? Do they see a team that is capable of actually competing in the playoffs if the Predators make it?
Well, I'd say this. I think that the number one thing that people say is that they're kind of impressed that the Predators have pulled themselves out of whatever was bothering them early in the year, right? Because they looked lost at sea, Adam. So I think that there's you have to give credit where credit is due. And they have crawled themselves out of a hole and they have put themselves in position to battle. I think that they talk about some individual performances. Saros has been very good. Stamkos, I think a lot of people really talk about Stamkos. I think, you know, early in the year, people began to wonder, okay, you know, last year was an off year, but hey, you know, he had a big change in his life. You know, maybe you give somebody a year and they kind of figure it out and year two is better. Well, with the way year two started, I think there was real concern about where Stamkos was and where he was going. And to his credit, Adam, he has peeled himself up off the mat and he has done a really nice job. So I think there's a lot of talk about that. But I still think there's, you know, Yossi's been good. O'Reilly's O'Reilly. He has enormous respect. I think the biggest question people still ask is, what is going to be their long-term plan? I mean, I think the real challenge is that whoever gets into that wild card two, it's an enormous test. It's Colorado, unless someone catches them. It's Colorado in the first round of the playoffs, and they've been an absolute juggernaut. And nobody's going to be picking whoever plays Colorado in that first round. I just think that people will look at Nashville and say, the way they started, it's pretty impressive they even got here.
Let me ask you about those Avalanche, because the Predators do play them tomorrow. They're having a fabulous season, unbeaten in regulation at home. Last I checked, they're on pace to match the Bruins of a few years ago for the most points in a regular season in NHL history. But we know what happened with those Bruins, Elliot. They caught the Florida Panthers in the first round. We didn't know that the Panthers would become the Panthers at that point, but they lost in the first round after having an historic season. So do you see these Avalanche differently than you saw those Bruins?
Oh, boy, that's a great question, Adam. I would say that the thing about this particular Avalanche team is that, you know, that Bruins team had some great players, but I think you saw them as more than the sum of their parts. Even though they had the Bergerons and the Marchands, you would look at them and say they had a great group that all fit in extremely well with each other. Colorado has elite talent. They have a guy in Nathan MacKinnon who's having an MVP season. They have a guy in Cale Makar who is the best defenseman in the world. They have Martin Natchez, who is an incredible fit in terms of how he fits in with that team. And they have a really good goaltending rotation. You know, they've suffered some injuries recently. Landeskog is out. Makar's regular defense partner is out, Devontae's. And I think everybody kind of felt it was probably good for them to go through a bit of adversity. because they've had none all year. You know, I think there's a lot of players we're still figuring out there in terms of how it's going to look in terms of their roles, especially for the playoffs. And I think Colorado will add. You know, one of the guys I kind of wonder about for them, Adam, is Panarin for the Rangers. Now, he has to be willing to go there. But a few years ago, when Panarin was an unrestricted free agent, he signed with the Rangers for 8 years at, you know, a little over $11.5 million. Colorado offered him $13 million a year for 4 years. And he didn't take it. It was a really creative offer. I've always thought, but he considered it. I've always wondered if they would circle back at this point. And they went for it big last year with Brock Nelson. They gave up a lot. They got knocked out in the first round. But I don't think when you have a season like this, you give up or say, you know what, it didn't work last year. We're not going to do it again. I just think that this Colorado team has more elite talent than that Boston team did. But I'll say this, like, you're right. Florida wasn't Florida at the time. But I look at who they could play in the first round, and I got to think if Colorado lost to them, it would probably be a bigger upset.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet is with us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Elliot, we have been heavy on John Harbaugh watch here over the past week. Now, it's been, you know, the Giants ultimately won out, although the Titans were reportedly in the mix. But it feels like now that Harbaugh is off the market, that was the domino that everybody was waiting for. Four to drop, and now all of the other jobs will be filled. Along similar lines, which team or player in the NHL represents that first domino on the NHL trade market? Once that player gets traded, once that team starts making moves, maybe that gets more action going.
There's a couple, I would say. I think the one name that we're kind of a lot of us are watching right now is Rasmus Anderson of the Calgary Flames, a defenseman. I think it's been made pretty clear that they would like to get this trade done before the Olympic break, which is the last day to make trades before the Olympic break is February 4th. So it's a little under 3 weeks today. I think that is one. And I think the team wants to make the trade too. I think the player wants to be traded before then. And I think he's one. I think Vancouver is another. And I'm beginning to wonder about the Rangers here and exactly how they're going to do things. You know, I would have said earlier in the year, Adam, that the answer may be Nashville. And it's going to be really interesting what happens here, because I still think the Predators would like to get younger, and I still think there's interest in some of their players. However, when you're in the race, it's harder to let go. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Barry Trotz decides to do this.
Talking to Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet. Elliot, you kind of played directly into what I was going to ask you. There are a couple guys on the Predators roster that I think have been key contributors for them this year, and they will be unrestricted free agents after this, and that's Michael Bunting and Eric Halla. I'm curious of your thoughts on the market with them, and are those two guys that you could see being flipped at the deadline or maybe wind up right back here in Nashville?
I'm actually surprised you didn't mention McCarron.
We'll throw him in there too.
Yeah. You know, the reason I mentioned McCarron is that he's got the kind of profile that a lot of teams really like. Especially playoff teams, like a depth forward, a versatile guy who plays a big game, doesn't back down from anybody, likes to play hard. Like to me, when I look at players who could be of interest to teams who maybe don't make the most money but fit a really nice role, McCarron is one of the first guys on your team I think of. So, like, he's one I think is going to be really interesting. And I think they've had some talks with, like, one of the things I think that's kind of happened here is that with some of those players that you mentioned, the Predators have had some talks with them about what an extension would look like. So they know that, and they kind of start to feel what the trade market will look like. I have to think McCarron is one of those guys. I believe there would be interest in him if you didn't want to keep him. Bunting is interesting because I think when you guys were struggling, his name was kind of out there. It's been pulled back. But again, Bunting is a guy who is, I think if you guys decided to sell, I definitely believe there'd be interest. He's got playoff experience. He's playoff tested. You know, he's definitely a guy that teams would look at pending the price. Who was the other guy you mentioned?
Holla.
Holla, yeah.
Oh, Holla, yeah. Again, Holla's a center. He's got a lot of playoff experience. All of these guys, like the thing is, it's interesting here. Like if you're trading a rental, like these guys would be, you're hoping to get a first round pick or a good prospect. Like maybe you're getting a pick and a prospect, but you're sitting there saying, if you get a first rounder for a guy like that, or you get a solid prospect for a guy like that, you're really feeling good about yourself. What do you need? You need leverage. You need interest in your player. Like Brock Nelson, we talked about Colorado. Colorado gave up a first round pick and a really good prospect for Brock Nelson last year. And the reason they had to do it is because there was so much interest in the player. So to me, it comes down to how much interest is there in these guys, and that drives up your price. But if you get a first rounder or you get a good prospect, you're happy. And if you get both, you're dancing down Broadway in a giddy way.
Elliot, let me ask you about a team in the Central Division, the Winnipeg Jets. That's a team that recently won the President's Trophy, and now they're sitting second to last in the Western Conference. What's gone wrong with that team, and is that a team you think could sell at the deadline?
I'll tell you this. They don't want to sell. I know that. They might end up selling some guys who they don't see as part of their future, but I don't see them selling guys who they do see as part of their future. They're not interested. Like, they've had a nightmare year. For one thing, they've been slow. They've looked slow, and it's been a huge problem. Like, Jonathan Toews, for a guy away for 3 years, he's finally started to heat up a bit. But I just think that he wasn't able to keep up the pace early in the year, and maybe we should have expected that, and it really affected how good they were. Their MVP, Connor Hellebuck, he got hurt. He missed a lot of time. They really struggled without him. Like, one thing I'm seeing happening with the Rangers right now, Shesterkin is not playing, and he covered up all their warts, their goalie. And when all of a sudden, I joked about it today with Kyle, it's like broadcasters who wear makeup. And when we take the makeup off, we're like, oh, that doesn't look that good. Well, when you don't have Shesterkin, you don't have Hellebuck, who erase all your warts, you suddenly get exposed. And that happened to the Jets, and it's happening right now to the Rangers. I think the biggest thing, though, with the Jets, aside from Hellebuck's injury, is they were slow, and that caught up to them big time. You cannot be slow in this league. You've either got to be fast to skate or fast moving the puck, and they weren't that earlier in the year.
Elliot, we did mention the Avalanche. They play the Predators on Friday. On Saturday, the Predators are in Las Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. Kind of a big game happening in Las Vegas tonight as the Maple Leafs take yes. on the Golden Knights. What are you expecting tonight when Toronto faces Mitch Marner for the first time?
Well, you know, so we have our Hockey Day in Canada special this weekend. Basically, we're on air for 14 hours straight with hockey. Some games, some stories, just an overall celebration of the sport. And we're in a town called Moncton, New Brunswick. There's a junior team here, the Moncton Wildcats, but we're an hour ahead of Eastern time. So we're also 2 hours ahead of you in Nashville. This game starts tonight at 10:30 local, and we're going to be watching it because it's a big deal. But the bigger one is next Friday. That's when Mitch Marner comes back to Toronto. And, you know, I'll tell you, Adam, a bunch of the TV stations, including ourselves, and have asked for like a one-on-one with them. And I don't think it's going to happen. I that just tells you how emotional this is, how much noise there is. It's going to be really interesting to see what the reaction is to him. You know, I don't know who you would compare it to in your history of sports in Nashville, but there are a lot of people. Like, I think it's a real shame in the sense that he should have gone down as the best homegrown Maple Leaf ever, and he didn't. He left as a free agent this past year, and there's a lot of hard feelings. And I think tonight's going to be something. This is going to be a money on the board game. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, money on the board means players on each team put like a number on the board. And they say, okay, if we win the game, this is how much I'm donating towards like a team dinner or party at the end of the year. And they use like the big ones. The biggest one I know about was somewhere between around $75,000. This won't be like that tonight, but it'll be a big one, and it'll be very emotional. But next week will be even crazier.
I mean, you can win $75,000 easy at the craps table. I mean, that's where they could get that money if they wanted to. the closest comparison I could come up with, Elliot, would be Shea Weber. That was a trade, but I know that there were hard feelings between Shea Weber and David Poile after that trade happened in June of 2016. When
But I don't think there were hard feelings between Weber and the fans.
Absolutely,
right?
You're absolutely right. Yes, yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah, this one is like what will be interesting is like we were talking yesterday. You have to do a video for Marner next week when he comes back. You have to, but like when Matt Sundin came back, he didn't know how the crowd was going to react. There was never a doubt in my mind they were going to cheer him. I honestly have no idea how this is going to go next Friday.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Mays, Ving and Adonik. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season, and he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the Maple Leafs Golden Knights game tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you next week, guys.